Hey everyone, this is Joseph Bosco, pastor of Highway Church. Thanks for joining us on our podcast. You know, all of us need the right kind of voices in our lives. Voices that inspire us to know the one who made us. Voices that awaken our divine destiny and reveal to us the goodness of God. Well, that's what this ministry is all about. So enjoy the message. Started something last Sunday. We started talking about our purpose. We're introducing ourselves to the Tulsa area. And our purpose is really super simple. I like simple. It's to help people personally experience the love and the power of Christ in their daily lives. That's what we want to help you guys do. We want to help you personally experience the love and the power of Christ in your daily lives. How do we do that? Well, by teaching people how good God is. The goodness of God still today is largely unknown. We want to help change that. We want people to know how much He loves them and how good He is. And actually, in the scriptures, we see God inviting us to come and to have a personal relationship with Him, which is just life-changing. And He actually wants us to taste and to see how good He is. I love Psalm 34, one of my favorite psalms. Many, many years ago, I just read it so much, I committed it to memory. But verse 8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And when you go to a cafe, what do you want to do? You want to taste and see, is their coffee good? Are the menu items good? Well, God wants you to taste Him today. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to experience Him this morning. I'm not interested in religion. It's actually a waste of time. I'm interested in the person of Christ. I'm interested in experiencing His love and His power in my daily life. And I've been doing that since the last millennium, back in the late 80s. And I'm telling you, it's the meaning of life, knowing Him. So we want to help you do that today. And we started with John chapter 10, verse 10 last week. I'm going to go back there. So God invites us all throughout the scriptures to have this personal relationship with Him. And man, it's so good. In fact, Jesus, God in the flesh, came into the earth and He revealed the heart of God to us. Because there's a lot of confusion in the earth about who God is and what's He all about. And there was confusion in Jesus' day, a lot of confusion. So God sent His Son into the earth to clearly reveal to us the heart of God. And here's God Himself speaking in John chapter 10, verse 10. Now remember, when we read the words of Jesus, we're not reading the words of a religious expert. We're not reading the words of a theologian. We're not reading the words of a professor. We're actually reading the words straight from the heart of God. We're reading God Himself speaking to us. Okay? This is what God says to us. He's revealing His purpose, and no one paid Him to say this. No one paid Him to say this. This was of His own initiative, of His own free will. He spoke to us and He said this, I came so they can have real, love that word, and eternal life. So without Him, we can't have real life. Wow, that's an eye opener, isn't it? I came so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. Whoa. Now, if God came in the flesh, and He did, and He clearly revealed to us His heart, His will, and His purpose, why is it, or what would keep someone from experiencing this real and eternal life, this more and better life than they ever dreamed of? What could keep us from experiencing them? Well, we talked about that last week. Believing wrong things about God. If we believe things about God that aren't true, it hinders our relationship with Him. If you want to know someone for real, If you want to have an intimate relationship with someone, you've got to know the truth about who they are. My favorite person to listen to is Jesus. And I unfortunately didn't grow up with the Bible. But when I first read his words, I was about 19 years old, and he totally shocked me, because he speaks unlike any other person speaks. And when he asked his disciples questions periodically, and here I want to share with you a couple of questions that he asked. If you want to know him for real, you've got to know the truth about who he is. He asked his disciples a question as they're walking along and as he was ministering. He said, "Who do people say that I am?" That's a great question. And I don't know if you know that in the Gospels, that area of Scripture in Matthew and Luke. And his disciples answer, "Well, people say that you're John the Baptist." Wrong answer, right? People say you're Elijah or one of the old prophets. So people were saying things about Jesus that actually weren't true. And that still goes on today. And He wants you to know the truth about who he is so that you can have an intimate relationship with him. And here's the big question. He then followed that question with the most important question you could ever answer. He said, "Who do you say that I am?" Because it really doesn't matter what anyone else says. What do you personally believe in your heart about me? And we learned last Sunday, and just so you know, these messages are all available to you. Last Sunday's message is available as a podcast, also a video online at highwaychurch.us. You can go there, highwaychurch.us. The podcast button is in the top left. Click on that, or on any platform you'd want to listen to a podcast, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play. But check out last week's message. It'll help you quite a bit to know God as he is. And who do you say that I am? And I want you to think about that. And you don't have to answer out loud. You don't have to talk with anyone about that. But what comes to your mind when you think of Jesus? What comes to your mind when you think of God? I want to share an example in my life. My wife, Jennifer, we're in our 30th year of marriage on December 31st. It'll be 30 years. But we met about 34 years ago, way back in 1989. We are 80s people. Yeah, it was like the best decade ever, right? And but when I first met Jennifer, we got to know each other. We were friends. And I had just come to know Christ. And I just couldn't get enough of growing in Christ. I was just reading the scriptures, learning, just growing and talking to God all throughout the day and night. And he's put something on my heart. He showed me that Jennifer was the woman that he had, that she was, we were to be husband and wife. I didn't tell her that. I just kept that to myself. And we just continued to be friends for quite some time, maybe about 3 years before I ever mentioned anything about what the Lord said to me. But anyway, we're developing this friendship, and we had a lot of friends together. And there was another young lady in my life, and she wanted to be in a dating relationship with me. And I wasn't interested in that type of a relationship with this young lady. We were just friends. And I didn't know how troubled this young lady was. So this young lady was actually jealous that Jennifer and I were getting closer. And you know what this young lady began doing? She began spreading rumors about Jennifer to the people that I knew. And I didn't even realize it. She began telling them things about Jennifer that weren't true, about this Jennifer. I knew another Jennifer in my life. So when I heard my friends talking about someone, Jennifer, and saying the things they were saying, I just knew it wasn't this Jennifer because I had a relationship with her. We prayed together. We read the word together. We did things together. I saw how she responded to people. I knew what was important to her. I saw her live her life. So when they were talking about someone called Jennifer, I just assumed they were talking about another Jennifer because I knew that couldn't be true about my Jennifer. Are you following me? And it wasn't until years after we were actually married, years later, that I even knew what that other young lady was doing. It was I was like, oh, she was actually okay, and it all kind of came together. But it never affected us because we knew each other. Well, we said last week, where's the number one place that rumors are spread about God? Do you guys remember the whole room said, church? Yeah, religion. You're going to hear all kinds of rumors about Jesus and about God. And if you believe them, they will keep you from knowing him. If I would have believed what those people were saying about this Jennifer, I would have went, what? She said, what? Well, I don't, what? And that would have affected our relationship big time. That's why in Ephesians it says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is edifying for the hearer. So we're not part of gossip, right? Are there any rumors on social media? Yeah. Yeah, a whole lot, right? But we don't participate with that. Because rumors block us from healthy relationships. And we want a healthy relationship with God. So that's why Jesus said, well, who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? So one of our specialties at Highway Church is de-religifying people's relationship with God. We like to take the religion right out of it. We like to take the rumors out of our relationship with God. Why? So that we can experience him personally. Okay? Last week, one of the things that we looked at, go ahead and put that John 10:10 back up in the message again. We looked at that term eternal life. And I'm not going to go into the depth of it like we did last week, but just as a little review, here's a common phrase that Jesus taught us that has been religified. And as a result, most people don't know what eternal life actually is. Well, we gave you the definition from Jesus in John 17:3. Let's go ahead and put that up there. John 17:3. Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they may know you. K-N-O-W. And we got into the definition of that word. It's a very intimate Greek word, same word used in Matthew 1, where said Joseph knew not his wife Mary until after Jesus was born. Same word. Jesus is speaking of the intimate relationship that a husband has with his wife. This is eternal life, that they may have a relationship like that with you. Now, this Vine's Expository Dictionary teaches us about this word, and we phrase it this way: to eternal life is to know and experience God as he is. To know and experience God as he is. So if we put that definition, and this is what I do, I like to study the definition of words and the etymology of words. When I learn what a word means, I'll put it in that verse. So here's that same verse, John 10:10, with the actual definition of eternal life. You ready? I came so they can know and experience God as he is. Now we're understanding the heart of God. This is why Jesus came, so that you today in Tulsa 2024, you can know and experience God as he is. Not someday when you go to heaven, right here, right now. And boy, is it time. Once you taste him, you'll never want to taste anything else again. It's similar when my wife makes something at home for me to eat, it's like, forget about going out. Why would I ever want to go out? Because what she makes is so delicious. When you get to know him as he is, forget religion. Freedom comes, strength, healing, wholeness, soundness of mind, supernatural provision come when you know God as he is. But what if we believe things about, what if I believe that eternal life was maybe going to heaven someday? I would miss all of this. See, religion always puts God off in the future or in the past. But Jesus showed us very clearly God is right here and he's right now, that the kingdom of God is at hand. And all that you need to do to experience him is believe him. I love that. I love that. So we're going to de-religify another idea today. And we're going to spend maybe the next few weeks here at Highway de-religifying wrong beliefs, rumors about God. Here's another rumor going around, and I think maybe you've heard this or a variation of this. God is disappointed in you. God is mad at you. And the mistakes you've made and the sins you've committed have just put this distance between you and him, and you've got to make up for that. And so what? And we all know that we've sinned, right? We've all know we've blown it to one degree or another. So religion comes along and plays on that and says, okay, if you're going to get back to God, here's a list of things you've got to do. And it's a long list that no one can complete. And if you buy into that, you start, you know, doing, checking your things and going through your list and praying how they tell you to pray and reading your Bible how they tell you to. And boy, you just never get there. And I grew up on a hamster wheel like that, where God seemed to be so far away. And I felt so bad because I knew I messed up. But no matter what these religious leaders told me, I couldn't go to confession enough. I couldn't say enough prayers. I never had an assurance of God's love for me. Well, Jesus blows this all away. And we're going to take a look at this in just a moment. I want to look at three scriptures and then we're going to pray. But what if I believe this rumor about God? What if I believe that he's actually mad at me because of something I've done? What if I believe there's a separation between he and I, and I'm the one who has to fix that? That's a weight that no one can carry. Because you know what? We can't fix the separation that we cause between God and us. That was something that started with Adam about 6,000 years ago. Man rejected God, separated himself from God, and actually put his faith in Satan and darkness and all the stuff we see today and sickness and disease and storms came into the earth. But that wasn't the Father's plan. That wasn't the Father's will. He sent his Son into the earth so that anyone from any nation, any country, any state, any culture could be actually reunited with God in a moment through faith in Christ. See, if I go through life thinking I'm separated from God, what that does, it allows fear to creep into my life. Because if God's not for me, what hope do I have? And the root of fear is something called condemnation. And it's really at the heart of all of the problems of mankind. We feel condemned for our sin. And that's understandably so, because sin is condemning. We feel separate from God, and we are, if we haven't received Christ, but we were separated from God. But Christ came to permanently remove the separation between you and God the Father. And religion hasn't learned this yet. Religion is still working and telling you how to work to get back to God. But Christ came and gave himself. And it actually, let's go ahead and look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. This verse changed my life forever. Probably read it about 35 years ago. It said, God made him who had no sin. Now, who would that be? Jesus, right? God made him who had no sin. What? To be sin? What? To be sin for us? Well, I thought Jesus never sinned. He didn't. He never once disobeyed the Father. When did Jesus become sin? If you look in the Gospels, you'll see there is a place towards the end of Matthew where Jesus is on the cross. And for the first time, instead of calling God his Father, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? What? He was made sin on the cross. Whose sin? Mine. Yours. Mankind's. That is the feeling of sin. I've been forsaken by God. I've been separated by God. And we see Jesus becoming sin on the cross and vocalizing the separation that sin brings. Why have you forsaken me? We want to blame God, but really God is providing the solution for us. So he sent his son to be sin for us. Why? Are you ready for this? So that in him we might become a little bit better. No, we might become the righteousness of God. Religion can't handle this. I'm going to share something. I'm going to debunk a rumor. Are you ready? The moment you put your faith in Christ as your atonement for your sin. This is my little granddaughter, Milana. Just a little bit. Good job. She's such a good listener. She's the best. It's right. I said just a little bit. She said, no, Papa. Right. A lot, right? So listen to this. Let me debunk a myth. Here's kind of what we're taught, right? We go to church and we get a little better and we try harder and then we'll try a little harder next week. On all that. That's one of my favorite phrases. Right? No. When you put your faith in Jesus, you are made new immediately. You're made righteous. Go ahead to verse 17. You have verse 17 up there? Or maybe I didn't put it in there. Did I put it in there? I did. Oh, good. Wonderful. This is what happens the moment you put your faith in Christ. Not in a year after you do better. Not after you say more prayers or read more Bible or go to more church. The moment you put your faith in Christ, this is what happened. If anyone is in Christ, he is not going to be a new creation. You immediately become a new person in your spirit. The old has gone. The new has come. Wow. This is largely unknown among believers. And we want you to know it because it will absolutely change your life. Let's see if I have time. Well, let me go on to, I'm just going to see how many I can get in here. Let me go to Romans chapter 8. So this righteousness, have you ever heard of, here's another rumor. Have you ever heard a Christian say, I'm a sinner saved by grace? So common. Do you know that's biblically incorrect? That's a rumor. The moment you put your faith in Christ, you're no longer a sinner. You become one of God's very own sons and daughters. You become the righteousness of God. What it would be correct to say, I was a sinner, but now I'm saved by grace. Now I'm one of God's very own. Now I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Sin has lost its power over me. Romans 8, chapter 1. We're going to look at this in a couple of translations. It's so powerful. It says, because of what Jesus did, now all the verses we just read, because of him, there is therefore now no, zero condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Next verse. For the law of the Spirit of life. This is the law you want to come to know, not the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are excellent, but they were written on stone, and it didn't start out that way. Abraham is the father of our faith, not Moses. Most believers are more familiar with Moses than they are with Abraham. How did Abraham become righteous? He was 430 years before the stone tablets. How did Abraham become righteous? It'll tell you about it in Romans. By believing God. That is the father of our faith. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. If you knew that with all of your heart, you'd never be afraid again. These verses we've just shared together describe to us the love that God has for you. Love is demonstrated by action. Love, God loved you so much that He has provided all of this for you, and you don't have to get better to partake of it. You just have to believe in Christ. And then you have to get a hold of the knowledge of what we're sharing with you and let go of the rumors. Don't hold on to the rumors, because there are people who would argue these things and say, yeah, but no, you are a new creation in Christ, and God sees you that way. Now, when we're born again, our spirit is made new, but we also have a soul, which is our mind and our emotions, and we live in a physical body. So once you're born again, you want to grow in the true knowledge of what God has done for you. And as you do, your soul will begin to be renewed, your mind and your emotions, and your body will actually begin to be changed, and healing will come. I used to be very sick, grew up in a medical family for most of my life. And when I began learning the things I'm sharing with you for the first time in my life at 1996, I was 27 years old, I began to experience healing directly from Jesus. And I've been walking in divine health ever since, because I let go of the rumors that I was taught and that I heard from other people and religious leaders and best-selling books about Jesus. And I actually went right to the scriptures, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts, and I just took Jesus at His word. And I want to encourage you to do that. Let's look at the Message translation of this same verse. So powerful. With the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, that fateful dilemma, condemnation, trying to figure out how to get back to God, that fateful dilemma is resolved. Those who enter into Christ being here for us no longer have to live under a continuous, low-lying black cloud. That's what fear and condemnation are. They're this nagging black cloud that follows us around and keeps us from experiencing Christ. Do we have verse 2 as well? A new power. Oh, a new power is in operation. The spirit of life in Christ. This is what we're bringing here to Tulsa. This is what we focus on. This new power that's in operation. The spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a fated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. Oh, I love that. I love that. So good. Can we put the Passion Translation up there? Did we put it in there? Maybe it's not in there. I'm just going to read it to you. Okay, I'll just read it to you. This is the Passion Translation. It says, so now the case is closed. There remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined in life union with Jesus, the Anointed One. For the law of the Spirit of life flowing through the anointing of Jesus has liberated us from the law of sin and of death. This is why we're here in Tulsa. This is why we have an online network. The truths I'm sharing with you are largely unknown even among believers. 1 John 4:18. This will be our last scripture for today. There is no fear in love. And this is engraved on the inside of my wedding ring, just the book and the verse and the chapter and verse. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Why? Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Do we have the next verse there? We love because He first loved us. Fear comes from separation from God. When you realize the moment you put your faith in Christ, there is zero separation between you and Him. You have become united with Him. He is for you. He's given His Son for you. And His love and His power is freely available to you. And actually, He's now living in you in the person of the Holy Spirit. Wow. When these truths settle inside of you, when you grow in the knowledge of the things we've shared, fear will lose its grip on your life. It's a wonderful thing to live free from fear. I'm just going to read this in the Message, and then we're going to pray together. There is no room, verse 18 says, there is no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear. Fear is crippling. A fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment, is one not yet fully formed in love. So we're on a mission at Highway to help people experience the love and the power of Christ in their daily lives. We want to invite y'all to come with us. We're going to be here every Sunday. Doors open at 9, and we're going to start about 9:30. And this is what we're doing. Also, this upcoming Wednesday, we have live Bible studies online. We won't be here. We'll be online. And you can check those out. We encourage you we're going to continue helping people by teaching them the goodness of God every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Central Time. It's live, and it's on highwaychurch.us, highwaychurch.us. Just click on live in the menu. Of course, we're also on YouTube, Facebook, Rumble. But we want to invite you to participate in this Bible study. We've started a Bible study last Wednesday called As He Is. And that's what this Bible study is about, knowing God as He is. That's what we focus on. When you know Him as He is, you will find the answers for every challenge you're facing. It is so worth our time. In fact, the most important and the most profitable thing that you can do, and the most important way that you can spend your time and your money and your resources, is to develop your relationship with the One who made you. Nothing will bring more strength, healing, wisdom, healthy relationships, opportunities into your life than a vibrant, real, no religion relationship with the One who made you. Let's pray together. Father, You're so good. Lord, it's almost sometimes, if this is new to us, it's kind of like, can this even be true? It just seems too good to even be true. But Lord, when we just forget about what other people say, and we just open our Bibles and read Jesus, and Matthew, and Mark, and Luke, and John, and Acts. Lord, there are thousands of manuscripts that verify the authenticity of what we're reading. No other person in human history has been recorded like Jesus has. We can actually read His words and read of the eyewitness accounts of what He said and did. And when we just read what You said, Jesus, we're changed. And we find out it's too good to not be true. Help us to see You as You are, to know You as You are, and to let Your love fill us and remove every trace of fear from our lives. It's in Your name, Lord Jesus, that we gather this morning and that we pray. And Father, every person in this room is so precious to You. And I think of little Colson, who's 3 months old, and little Milana, who's about a year and a half. And when we look at these cute little people, you know, we want to bless them. But Lord, when You look at us, we are so precious to You. We are so important to You. And that's why You sent Your Son. I pray that we would go forward from here today and carry what we've heard in our hearts and meditate on it so that we would become strong in the knowledge of you, and that what other people say, what spirits of darkness would whisper to us, would have no bearing on our relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
God is so good. We want to invite you to continue to grow in the knowledge of His goodness, who He is, what He's done for you, and who you are in Him. Check out our websites at highwaychurch.us and josephbosco.us and begin living the abundant life He came to give you.